About 2 years, I surrendered the fact that I couldn't see with both eyes at the same time. But as of this week, I can see both eyes here and far. Four operations and all that sort of stuff. So amen for that. That's good stuff. So now last week, Casey preached and we didn't have any pictures. So I didn't show any pictures last week. So we're going to show 2 weeks worth of pictures. There's Hanai at our Halloween party. Yeah, all right. Yeah, this is nice. All right. And there's some of us there, yeah. All right, great. Yeah, that's Pikachu. And this is our little hike. Went to the top of Nevada Falls. Heidi and I made it to the top. That was good. All right. And this is Wednesday. Sharing my faith at UC Merced, and it's pouring rain. It's pouring rain. I'm thinking, okay, nobody's going to stop by my table. But anyway, that's okay. And then this is yesterday serving Catholic Charities. This month is particularly important with Catholic Charities. I'll mention that later in our announcements. Oh, okay. Do we have – does this work? Yeah, all right. Yeah, we got that. There you go. Yeah, I like that. Thank you to Ken. Yeah.
We're so fun.
Yeah.
Is that Stephanie there? Or is that Cassie? That's Cassie. That's Ken. Let me see. Josh. Okay. There's Jen. And those are two girls from UCSD. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, good. Romy and
Diana. Yeah, nice. Yeah, 400 something.
Oh, one more time.
Oh, no. Okay, good. So, we're back in 1 Peter. All right, we're doing a series of lessons. This is our fifth from the book of 1 Peter. Themes in Peter. The two principal themes are, number one, the call to holy living. And number two, the Christian response to suffering and persecution. We really barely started that. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to have a chapter and a half where that's the entire subject. And today's sermon is really setting that up, as I'll explain, although we're not going to talk about suffering and persecution today, at least not very much. All right. And actually, the themes, there are a number of themes, the glory of God. Today we'll see stuff about the sovereignty of God, for sure. The suffering of Christ, absolutely. That's why we're doing a sermunion. Our suffering will be dealt with somewhat a little bit, and then the call to holy living, which is what this sermon is all about. So, reminder of 2 weeks ago, because last week we had something different. So that was John Sparks. Oh, are you saying we should do a prayer?
Oh, no, just stretching.
All right, your stretch is...
No feeble arms.
He is going like, strengthen your feeble arms, right? Yes. And your weak knees, that's a whole other thing. That's from Tuesday's Bible talk. All right. Sorry about that. Anyway, so, nevertheless. So, 2 weeks ago, John covered 1 Peter 2, 1 through 25. And I think the principal things he emphasized seem to be is that we are God's people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
A people of God. He says, therefore, because we are God's chosen people, in verse 11, he says, well, that means that our relationship with the world is kind of different because for that reason. And he reminds us that we are foreigners and exiles in this world because we're citizens of heaven. We are paroikios, since different housed people, if you will, and parapedemos. And actually, the Spanish equivalent of that is peregrinos, which is what Jen and I were. We did that whole sojourn thing. But the Christian life is a sojourn. This world is not our home. We sing that song. So Jen and I learned a little bit. And Robert, who kind of put on the thing, he gave us 40 Proverbs. But I don't have time to go over all 40 Proverbs. But one of them is, if you get off the path, look for the sign.
Okay.
All right? And there were hundreds of these things, right? If you couldn't stay on this path. By the way, one time Jen and I were totally lost, and this farmer goes... He assumed we didn't speak Spanish because we look like gringos or something like that. So, amen. Thank you, God. So, Jen and I learned some lessons, but we don't have time to go into that. because that's not what this sermon's about. But therefore, and it concludes in 1 Peter 2, verse 12, therefore we should live such good lives among the pagans that they might glorify God and become Christians. Now, by the way, if you're on out in town and around campus, don't tell people, by the way, you're a pagan, so I'm going to live a good life. Just allow Paul's language to be what it is, okay? But then he very barely covered verse 13 through 25 because of what he was covering. So I'm going to go back and uncover it again.
That's good.
Okay, so here, there's a whole section starting in chapter 2, verse 13, all the way through chapter 3, verse 6, where he's talking about submission. All right? Mm-hmm. And how many people here like submitting? Thank you for your honesty. Okay. Yeah. In 1 Peter 2:13, he says, submit yourselves. And then in 1 Peter 2:18, he says, submit yourselves. And then in 1 Peter 3:1, he says, submit yourselves. Okay. So why do I get stuck with this topic? I don't know. It's just, what can I say? But, you know, we kind of preach our way through the Bible, and if you come across a topic that's not everybody's favorite topic, you still preach it, all right?
Yes.
Because I asked, how many of you are really into submitting yourselves to other people and other things? And nobody raised your hand. Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
But we're going to see that. All right? So, submit yourselves. And so the question is, how do you feel about that? Okay. You don't have to raise your hand to say anything, but that's something to think about. And today we're going to talk about two things, but there's really five things that Peter tells us to submit ourselves to. One is to the governing authorities. Oh boy, everybody likes that one. Okay. And to masters, bosses, professors, husbands, women, husbands, church leaders, and then sufferings and persecution. Just so you know, this whole discussion today, Peter's setting up this, because that's his main point. Mm. His main point is to submit yourself to what comes at you from the world.
Mm.
And so today is sort of the practical introduction, and then next week we'll get into the whole theme of Peter, which is persecutions and sufferings. Okay, got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, this is America. We said, don't tread on me, right?
Uh-huh.
And we said, you want to tax our tea? Well, we're going to throw your tea into the Boston Harbor. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we're like, we're not going to submit to anybody.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have King George tell us what to do? We're going to tell King George what he can do, and that's what we kind of did. You know what I'm saying? So, our nature as Americans is to struggle with today's sermon, okay?
All right.
But let's get into it.
First
Peter 2, 13 through 17. Let's read it. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Let me read that again. And notice what he says. Listen carefully. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. What did I hope you would notice as I was reading that? For the Lord's sake. Thank you very much, Michael, for noticing that. All right, whether to the emperor as to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and command those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish people. Live as free people. I can get an amen on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we Americans like that one. All right, great. But do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Okay, there you go. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, this section is a sandwich. It's a sandwich. You know what a sandwich is? Bread, stuff, bread, right? The one bread is submit yourself to the emperor and all authorities and governors and blah, blah, blah. And then he ends it with submit yourselves to the family, to everyone, to believers, honor the king, etc. So it's sort of like he's kind of putting this thing between, he's like, just so you know. All right? Got it?
Yes.
Why? Now, I don't know, those of us who've been parents, when our kids say why, what do we want to say? Because I said so. Right? You hate that. Kids hate that. I'm just telling you, if you're ever a parent, that's what you're going to want to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, God doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Every every once in a while, honestly, he just says, do this, and he just leaves it at that. But in this case, he tells us why. In fact, he gives us three reasons. All right? Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold here. He says, for the Lord's sake, right? Well, what's that mean? He's helping out there a little bit here. He says in verse 14, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. The bottom line is, especially if you read Romans 13, I'm not going to go over to Romans 13 right now, but there's a fairly long thing. This is a little tiny blurb on this. There's a whole chapter on this, basically, which is submit to the governing authorities. And basically, God says, I gave them that authority. Why? Because it is a fallen world. And if we don't have a government, what's going to happen? All right? And there are anarchists, and, you know, there's they're in Russia. There was this whole anarchy movement. I'm telling you, bottom line is we need governing authorities. All right? And God basically authorizes them to do what they do. All right, but of course we know there's a problem with that, because what if they, you know, do something really bad? All right, I've been in Haiti, as you know, and there they have no governing authority. Wow. And OMG. Good luck. Yeah. It is scary. I mean, for somebody like me just to walk one block down the road, that is like, hopefully you'll make it to the end of the block. Wow. Okay? So, what's the Bible say? Submit to the governing authorities. Do we want to do that?
No.
No. All right. So one reason we do it is because the bottom line is governing authorities are necessary in this world, and God authorizes them. Now, that brings up problems. I'm gonna talk about those problems. All right. The bottom line is we're going to look at these two things. Submit to governing authorities, submit to bosses and stuff like that. And we're going to look at what we should do, but then we'll say, oh, by the way, here's what it doesn't mean. Here's what it means, and here's what it doesn't mean. We need both. By the way, just, you know, Peter doesn't give us the what it doesn't mean. Notice that. I'm going to give you the what it doesn't mean, because I think it's part of a complete teaching on this topic, but if you notice, Peter doesn't say what it doesn't mean. He just says, do it. And he leaves it at that. To me, that's kind of interesting. So reason number one, because they have a God-given job to do and role to play, even if they do it really pretty badly, which they often do. Let's be real about it. Number two, because it's God's will, right? Verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorance of foolish people. So that's that theme. Remember, one of the themes of Peter is God's sovereignty. And in this, submitting yourself, the whole topic, to governing authorities, to your bosses, wives to husband, blah, 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 and all these things, the question is, do you believe in God's sovereignty or do you not? Okay, that's really what it's coming down to. Got it? And number three, he says, so that by doing so, you should silence the ignorance talk of foolish people. And let me interpret Peter there. So you might help somebody become a Christian. Right?
Yes.
By our good behavior, you know, because everybody's rebelling and all this sort of stuff. You got this Christian, they're just like, amen, you know, I'm going to support that guy. I don't agree with that person at all. I'm not going to support him anyway. And they go, man, how do you do that? By the way, this is not the only way you're going to convert somebody, to maybe share Christ with them or, you know, maybe invite them to church. But hey, one way we can help people come to the Lord is by obeying this commandment. Okay, got it. Now, what if the governing authority kind of sucks? That's a good question. I had a friend, pretty good friend actually, and we were having a discussion. We're at a coffee shop. He's there, you know, I just want you to know that I don't pay taxes. Our government is bad, man. Our government and supporting this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I haven't paid taxes in years. I'm like, oh my goodness. Have you read 1 Peter 2:13 through 17? Or have you read like Romans 13, which says specifically? And the thing is, my point is this, not to get down on this guy who you don't know, Jan knows who he is, but it doesn't matter. My point is that we have every excuse in the book other than just obeying God in this area. Like I said, I'm going to say, here's what it means. I'm also going to say, here's what it doesn't mean. But, you know, we want to go right to that, here's what it doesn't mean, don't we? All right. Thank you. Honest person back there. Everybody else was quiet. I'm just joking, but, you know, we... All right. That's my nature. Jan, what, every time I hear a rule, what do I start doing right away?
Figure out how to go around.
Right, yeah. So, all right. All right. So, you know... You know, it's not like I'm standing here, this awesome, amazing example here, but, you know, I'm working on it, and the Bible says it, and I'm going to try to obey God on this area. All right? So, he says here, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. God's slaves? That word doulos can be servant, if you will. Show proper respect, okay? That's an interesting passage there. Live as free people. Well, how do free people live? The way I think about it is the way free people live is by taking responsibility for their choices, by making choices freely, and then, you know, living by those choices. And in our choices, because you don't have to obey the governing authority, you can not pay your taxes, or you could, you know, you could say horrible things about the president or the king, but Christians don't do that, actually. I hope you don't. All right? You might think some stuff, and maybe in a private conversation, but we're not out here saying, oh, yeah, you guys should just go out on the streets and blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is Christians aren't rebels. They're just not. He says, live as free people. We're free in Christ. Many things the world is enslaved to, we're free from. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in Galatians 5:1, he says it's for freedom you've been set free. But then later on down in Galatians 5 verse 13, let's just turn it real quick. By the way, Galatians 5, that whole chapter and this little section here, they're covering very similar topics. I kind of like Galatians 5:13 though, and here he says, don't use it as a, what's that? What did he say here? Don't use it as a cover up for evil. Verse 13, he says, I'm in 2 Corinthians, sorry. Galatians 5. Okay, good. 13, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I can get an amen on that. See, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. And our perfection has nothing to do with whether we're saved or not. We are flat out saved if we're in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not law keeping. Alright. But, he said, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And he's not talking about the government there, but humbly. Humbly. Well, what if the governing authority is bad? Well, what's it say here? Submit yourselves to the Lord's sake for every human authority. All right, he doesn't really seem to qualify that. Well, what about if the police are acting unjustly towards certain groups? Has that ever happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time. So what do we do about that? Well, as Christians, it says we submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, even including the police, even though there's some stuff that police do that ain't good in certain cases. By the way, I'm not condemning all police. Far from it. Do not you dare quote me on that. But we all know. All right. What about, and we could do a whole list of whatabouts.
Yeah.
All right. But he says, no. You know, we could say, well, Jesus is my king, not you. So therefore, I'm not going to do what you would say. Well, that's not what God says. So a question. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to go to our next little section here. But have you abused or used the amazing freedom you have in Christ as an opportunity to sin in this area? The Christian irony is this. True freedom comes in willingly submitting yourselves to every kind of authority. Explain that one to non-Christians sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because what's he say? Sure, you're free, but you're God's slaves. And as God's slaves, he says, do this. Okay, got it? All right, so what does it mean? Well, Paul said, I have all these rights. Read 1 Corinthians 9 sometime. I have this right, I have that right, I have this right, I have that right, I have this right, I have that right. What did he say about those rights? He said, I gave them all up. And he said, become all things to all people so I may win as many as possible. All right, so what does it not mean? All right, oh, I forgot this slide. Yes. Oh, yeah, what does it not mean? It does not mean submit to the governing authority if they tell you to do something that is a sin or that would imply disobeying God. Now, if I didn't have such long notes, I'd go to Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, but I'm going to tell you what happened. So they call in Peter and John, the other apostles, and they say, we're not really happy the way you're acting right now because you're telling people about Jesus. You need to stop it right now. And these guys would submit to every governing authority, except when they said, stop telling people about Jesus, they said, I'm sorry, we have to obey God, not man in that area. Okay? And again, you're going to have to, I could give example after example. You're going to have to figure this one out for yourself. But if the police officer, the draft board, or the whatever tells you to do something that God would totally not allow you to do, then, you know, you may need to be willing to go to jail. That's a possibility. Okay, that, all right. And the other one, this is the hard one. This is a hard one. But if it requires you to disobey your conscience, in other words, if the governing authority asks you to do something that you cannot do in good conscience, then you have to not do it. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 37. This is a really interesting example of Paul obeying the governing authorities, submitting to really, really bad treatment. Very bad treatment. Worse than anybody here has experienced, I guarantee you. Well, I can't guarantee you, but most likely. All right, and he just essentially takes it. All right, I don't know if you know the story, but he's in Philippi. And basically, he's arrested and he's beaten. He's beaten. He and Silas are beaten to a pulp and thrown into the prison. And the thing is, Paul was a Roman citizen, and they had no right. So, if you were Paul, what would you have done? I would have said, "Hello, I'm a Roman citizen, and if you don't stop right now, you know." I got to tell on you, and you're going to, you know, he didn't do that. So interesting. But let's go to verse 37. Then later on, after he was beaten and all that sort of stuff, all right, they're calling him out before the magistrates, but Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens. And he threw us into prison, and now... now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out. Basically, he called his rights when it had to do with somebody else. In other words, basically, they're going to start persecuting the whole church and doing really bad stuff to the whole church. And Paul's there. Okay, now, okay, you beat me up. Okay. By the way, I'm not saying submit to being beaten up. Just, you know, I am not saying that. I'm saying Paul did for the sake of the gospel. Because guess what? The Philippian jailer got saved. His whole family got saved.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes. His whole family.
But then when he's going to go after the church, he said, oh, by the way, just, you know, that's actually not right. Yeah. And he called them out on that. Okay? Now, this makes me realize... some of this stuff might be hard to figure out sometimes. Okay, got it? So maybe get some advice. We're teaching principles here. Here's a question. All right, this is a fun one. It's 1775, and you're living in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and all these patriots are rising up against the king and killing all the British soldiers, and you're like, yeah! So what are you going to do? Are you going to rebel? Are you going to... you know, take up arms and start shooting the British? All right, I'm not going to answer that question. All right, let's change it to our generation. Okay, it's 1968. And you're 18 years old. And you got the draft board, you know? Yeah, and you're like, this is a totally unjust war we're in, you know? Yeah, I mean, we're committing essentially genocide on the Vietnamese for a reason that has nothing to do with, you know, whatever. I'm not taking a political stand. I'm just trying to imagine that. That's a good example because for most of us that didn't happen, actually. But there's a couple of us, maybe it did. All right, so what would you do there? Would you go to Canada? Or would you plead conscientious objector? I think what the disciple would do would be to try to find a way to obey the governing authority and at the same time not offend their conscience. All right. Did Jesus support violent rebellion against Rome?
No.
No! All right. Did he call out social injustice?
Yes.
Okay. I was in Cairo. There's this, this little revolution that happened in Cairo. I remember that years ago. You guys are old enough, you might remember that. The Arab Spring and all that kind of stuff. I'm there, and the next day, this big rebellion, they're gonna basically rise up against Morsi and kick him out and all that kind of stuff. And I'm preaching for the church in Egypt, right there in Cairo, and the members come up, hey, we're planning on going out there and to the streets and, you know, doing this stuff and getting rid of this guy. So what do you think? I'm like, oh gee, I'm an American. I said, well, how about this? Is it likely to result in violence and people getting killed? He said, yeah. I said, well, all right. Well, there you go. We're Christians. Okay. Now, by the way, I've probably raised more questions than I've answered here. I'll be honest with you. Okay. This is one of those sermons. That's just what's happening here. Okay. Young people, you're going to have to figure this out. All right. But here's the biblical principle. What's the biblical principle? Submit yourselves to the governing authority, and if you have an excuse not to, you better make sure you know exactly what you're doing. Okay, got it? Oh, wow. Okay, now we go to the next one. All right. Oh, let's see. 1 Peter 2:18 through 25. How am I doing? Uh-oh. Okay. Whew. All right. 1 Peter 2:18 through 25. Oh, this is just about the stickiest subject I think I've ever had to preach on. So bear with me, and I've probably said at least one thing I shouldn't have said so far. If so, seriously, I'm serious. Pull me aside and say that one, that was not so good. I'm serious, because I bet I have by now, probably. Anyway, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Let's get real. We have some African Americans in the room today, you know. How do you feel about that? I mean, just being real. All right? I mean, oh my goodness. Is that what he said? All right, let me keep reading. Slaves in reverent fear of God. By the way, you see the connection? What was that thing I asked you to notice in the first one?
For the Lord's sake.
Yeah, and here, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Wow. That's tough, Peter. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That's going to be the key. There you go. Because they're conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, that is commendable before God. To this you are called. To what? To suffer for doing good and endure it, right? To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now in this section, Peter explains sort of the reasoning behind this more than he did in the first one. And the first one he just said, do this. It kind of left you hanging a little bit, like, okay, what about this? But in this section, he's helping us out a little bit more. By the way, just, you know, for what it's worth, I'm not trying to explain away anything, but slavery in the Roman Empire was very different from the most horrific slavery maybe in the history of human beings, which was chattel slavery in America. It was almost closer to the idea of an indentured servant. A lot of people would actually go into this situation on purpose because of their financial situation. So, by the way, we're going to apply this to your boss and your professor, right? That's what we're going to apply it to today, right? Softer situation than here. So here's slavery in America and for 300 years. And here's Michael and his boss at work, okay? And in the middle, that's kind of what was going on in the Roman and Greek Empire, just so you know, just information. Anyway, so the application here obviously is employees, submit yourself to your bosses and managers. Be a great worker, the kind that they can trust, the best worker there, the one who's always on time. I remember my friend, this is a friend when we were in Fond du Lac, and he worked at a factory, you know, there's a union factory. I'm not saying anything about unions. I'm just saying it was a union factory. All right. Anyway, his attitude is, I go to work, I work for 8 hours, and I work hard for 8 hours. He was mercilessly persecuted for doing that.
Wow.
Mercilessly persecuted. Because the attitude was, we do as little as we possibly can, so that they'll have to employ as many people as they possibly can, and you know, that kind of stuff. Okay. Praise God for Frank. All right. I'm telling you, that's my friend. His name is Frank. Just, that's his name. And, I had to kind of help him out there a few times, but yeah, bro, that's what you need to do. Maybe not put it in people's face, but you know, a Christian puts in a honest work. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, it's not fair at work. We had this discussion with somebody in the room this week, and it was like, that's rough, man. That's okay. I'm getting off my subject here. And by the way, students, submit to your professors.
Okay.
Learn from them. All right? And try to understand their perspective. In fact, try to take their perspective on the world, even if you don't agree with it, because you're there as the student and they're the teacher. All right? Wow. But what if they're a lousy professor? What if the boss is abusive and manipulative? Well, what's it say right here? Even if they're harsh. All right? Isn't that what it says? Even if they're harsh. All right? In fact, there's a sense, and if they're harsh, it's almost better, because then you're more likely to help somebody else become a Christian, because your behavior will be sort of like, wow, look at that guy. Oh, my goodness gracious. So there's all kinds of gossiping, right? Oh, the boss this and that and that. And the Christian's like, I don't take part in that kind of stuff. No, I'm sorry. Not that I disagree with what you're saying, but I'm not getting in on that conversation, because I'm a Christian. You know what I'm saying? Whew, this is not our favorite stuff. Okay, now. All right. Why? Verse 19. Read it carefully. For it is commendable if somebody bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. If we take being conscious of God out of this equation, this is a burdensome thing. This is very burdensome. But if you actually believe that God is the judge of everything, then you're going to be able to bear up under unjust treatment. By the way, don't forget, we're going to say, by the way, here's what it does not mean. It does not mean you let them do that to other people. All right? You can stand up for that. All right? And so, anyway, life is complicated. This subject is complicated. I'm not claiming it's not. Why? Because we believe that God is sovereign. That's why we can do what other people literally cannot do in these circumstances. And we are going to be a great witness to Christ. That's easy for you to say, John. You work for the church. Well, luckily we never have any abuse from members of our church. That would never, ever happen.
Well.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Has unjust suffering ever happened upon leaders of churches? Yeah. Last night, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there, oh, my goodness, there's some stuff that happened recently. It was not just at all. And some lies said and stuff. I'm like, I'm preaching this sermon today. God, John, you better get your heart right on this thing here. You better get your heart right now. Okay, so this is not just you guys. This is me, I'm telling you. All right, he says, to this we were called. By the way, this is not the only thing you're called to. You're called to go to heaven. You're called to glorify God. You're called to be blessed. You're called for all kinds of stuff. This is not the only thing you're called for, all right? You're called for glory. You're called to know Christ. You're called to have a relationship with through the Holy Spirit and all that other stuff. But also, to this you're called, right? All right? To suffer for doing good and to endure it. At work. At school. Whatever other application. Got it? Is this going to happen to you in your life? Young people? Oh, just wait. Just you wait. Us old people are kind of like, how can I count the ways? I'm sure Manny was always treated great by all the customers there on his postal route. And I'm sure all of his bosses were really caring. And I'm sure, you know, Sandy could tell us all the great stories. Well, we've already heard actually some of them. Never mind. All right. Okay. But I hope as Christians, they were shining examples in that situation. And they refused to join the stuff. Okay? Anyway, here we go. Then he's going to talk about Jesus. We're getting ready to do our Lord's Supper part because now we're going to talk about what Jesus did. And that's where he's taking. This whole lesson is taking us to Jesus. If you don't take all this stuff to Jesus, yeah. We are called to suffer for doing good and endure it. And that's what Jesus did, right? Verse 21. To this you are called because God tells you you just need to deal with it. Too bad for you. No. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In what sense? When he was beaten, what did he do? Just lash out at those people?
No.
When they said really bad stuff that wasn't true, what did he do? Did he ever stand up against injustice? Yes, but not when it was on him. It was when it was on them. That's the exception, guys, girls, ladies, sorry, people. That's the exception. If the injustice is on those people, amen. But if it's on you, here's what he says. Okay? He did not retaliate, right? They hurled their insults at him. He did not retaliate, right? When he suffered, he made no threats. And here's the bottom line. He entrusted himself to him. He trusted. So here's the question. Really, this is the only real question of the entire lesson today, honestly. Do you trust God? Or maybe a little bit more specifically, do you entrust yourself to God? It's one thing to say, I trust God. It's another thing to say, I entrust myself to him. As in, I put this situation not in my hands, but in his hands. And again, those of us who've been around a bit longer, we'll tell you, you're gonna learn about this at some point. If you're a Christian, it is going to be a great opportunity. I could share some examples. All of us who are older can share some examples. Alright. So. Jesus submitted himself to far worse treatment than anybody here is ever going to receive. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I'm sitting there in my bed. Boy, that was not very good what that person did. Like, yeah, but it didn't cut open my back and flay it and say, oh, yeah, you king of the Jews. But that's not exactly what happened. You know, Moses was reviled in Numbers chapter 20, verse 3. You know what he did? He struck the rock, if you know that story. And what did God do? Said, okay, you're not going to enter the promised land. Okay. Moses was reviled, and he's human, right? So, boom! Jesus is reviled, and he said, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. Wow. He entrusted himself. That's the key, that he entrusted himself. That's why we don't gossip about our bosses. The author of my commentary said, God is pleased when his people trust him in the midst of unjust suffering, imitating the example of Christ. That's it. Thank you very much, Grudem. I could have read that and finished the sermon. So here's the question for today. We're almost done. Do you trust God? Okay. How do you know? Because he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And he says, submit yourself in reverent fear to your bosses and your teachers and these people who kind of, they're over you in whatever situation and they're not good. And you're getting treated bad. Trust yourself to God. All right. So what it does not mean? Well, I go back to, remember what it didn't mean in the first one?
Yeah.
If your boss or your teacher or whatever is asking you to lie or cheat or manipulate the data, all right, well then, don't do it. You know, that's an easy one. The harder one, though, is when they ask you to do something that really offends your conscience. There, okay, let's just, I would say if it's against you, maybe not. If it's against other people, much, much more likely so. Because that's what Jesus did. Does it mean, therefore, you have to stay in that job forever? Because the more cruel they are, the more... No! No! Michael, feel free to look for another job, okay? Yeah. That's a little conversation from this week. So, no. And by the way, why submit to your husbands? If there's abuse going on, don't submit to it, okay? Get out of there. So, got it? Doesn't mean you can't look for another job or you can't drop the course if you want to. All right, drop the course. By the way, Professor, W's don't count against you as long as you do it early enough in the semester. It's true. One or two W's, one or two W's, 17 W's, okay. One or two W's, it's okay. Now you have to talk to your parents who are paying the tuition maybe, but other than that, I'm talking about, anyway, never mind. All right, here's a real situation. So in San Diego, by some weird coincidence, Jen and I had two different friends who had this job of doing the marriages. You know, go to the court, two people. One was a girl, one was a guy. And suddenly they had to do marriages for gay people. And both of them separately asked me what I should do about that. Wow. And here's what's interesting. I gave them the same advice, and one of them quit. Mm-hmm. The other one tolerated it. All right, so same advice, same person, same situation. One person says, did she lose her job? Do you remember? She was demoted seriously or something like that. I mean, it had very negative consequences. And that was her conviction. And I said, amen, sister, that's exactly what you needed to do. And this other brother, a younger guy, he's like, I don't support it, but I'm just an administrator. And, all right. So that illustration tells me that this is complicated. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Whew. I'm glad I got through that. So now we're going to do the Lord's Supper. All right. So in summary, submit yourselves to every governing authority for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves to bosses, managers, teachers, and others who are over you, even when they treat you badly. Again, for the Lord's sake. Why? Because you've entrusted yourself to Jesus. And this is going to apply later on when we talk about suffering and all that sort of stuff. But here we go. Let's reread. Here's our Lord's Supper talk. All right, I'll be honest with you. It was 4 a.m. I'm like, I forgot. So just so you know, this scripture is perfect for the Lord's Supper, you know, but I'll be honest with you. I forgot, you know. So, anyway. So. Here we go. This is Jesus. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, right? And what do we do when we're taking the Lord's Supper? We remember,
yes,
and we participate. The Lord's Supper is both a remembrance and a participation. All right? When they hurled insults at him, our Lord did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Why? Because he was there for you. He wasn't there for himself. Right? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. All right? That's why. He put up with that because he was there for you. All right? And again, not back to the sermon, but this clearly applies to the sermon. So let's think of that as we take the Lord's Supper. We think about the fact that he bore your sins. He took responsibility for everything that you did against God. And God, basically Jesus said to God, his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he do that? Because he was glutton for punishment? No. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, all of you have been healed. So let's pray as we take the Lord's Supper. Father, it is amazing what Jesus did for us. It wasn't called for. It doesn't even make sense that he would say, sure, torture me and kill me so that my sins get covered up. And yet, God, that's what he did. And we're here to, I guess, say thank you to Jesus for that, and to consider our sins even as we take the Lord's Supper. Help us to respond to that. Help us to have the right hearts about that. Help us to, as we see the bread and we see the juice or the wine, to remember his body, because he bore our sins in that body on the cross. In his name we pray, amen. All right, so juice on the left, wine on the right. And let's do that.